Lord Jesus, we come to you humbly with our thanks. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you make us in you. We thank you for not leaving us as sheep without a shepherd. And we confess that it is you who have made us, and we are yours. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Amen. Well, I have to confess that I've struggled with anxiety in various forms for pretty much the duration of my life. Actually, some of my first memories are feeling this gnawing pit in my stomach as I thought about having to go to preschool when I was 3. And so growing up right in the middle of Tornado Alley did absolutely nothing to help with that anxiety. Every time the sirens would start blaring, I would become convinced that our house was going to be sucked from its foundation and disappear into a funnel cloud, like Wizard of Oz style. And this wasn't an irrational fear. Our community was actually added specially to Tornado Alley because we were afflicted so often by tornadoes. So I had seen many people's homes be destroyed, and in 2008 actually saw my entire college campus destroyed by a tornado. So this isn't an irrational fear, but still I would huddle in the closet with my parents and my sister and our golden retriever and just like fret the lining off of my stomach. If I had to guess, most of you can relate to this in some way. And you might even be able to recall a moment this week or in your life or in your morning in which you felt anxious. But anxiety is not always a bad thing. It's actually part of the package in being human. It's part of being a caring person and a worker and a sports fan and a parent. But what lies beneath anxiety, even the highly rational sort of anxiety, is the question of trust. Am I going to be able to pass this class? Will I make the baseball team? Is my mother going to be upset with me if I enforce this boundary? Do I have what it takes to do my job well? Is my marriage strong enough to make it through this crisis? And underneath this question of whether we can trust ourselves and our loved ones and all of those in authority is perhaps the greatest question of all. Can I trust God? Can we trust God? Can we trust God to bring us a new rector? Can we trust God to protect our children? Can we trust God to bring us comfort in our illness or in our loneliness or our isolation? Can we trust God to answer our career questions or our marital strife? Can we trust God to make good on his promises? So in today's gospel passage, we come upon this group of deeply bothered Jews, and they're in a state of extreme anxiety. It's the Feast of the Dedication, which is often referred to as Hanukkah. And Jesus has come into the temple, and he has what seems to them a disconcerting message. He's been interrogated again about his identity, and Jesus responds, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." Now, to us, this might sound like kind of an innocuous statement. I have to confess that I've imagined Jesus in this scene reciting these words in a calm voice, maybe reminiscent of a Precious Moments figurine reciting Psalm 23. Maybe he has a garland of flowers in his hair, or he's holding a baby lamb in his arms. And so it's alarming when at the end of our passage, the Jews pick up stones and, enraged, go to stone Jesus. So what has Jesus said to earn their fury? It's important to understand a couple of contextual elements here. First, the Festival of the Dedication is an 8-day festival commemorating the rebuilding of the temple after it's been desecrated by the Syrian king. And so this festival lauds Jewish independence, and it also revels in God's provision for his people, anticipating the day when God will make good on his promise, which we heard today in Numbers, that he's going to appoint a king. Second, in Ezekiel 34, which is a famous ancient prophecy that we imagine that these Jews would have been familiar with, God speaks of the day when he himself will be the king of the people, seeking the lost, binding the injured, strengthening the weak. And so Ezekiel 34 gives us a hint about why the Jews are so angry with Jesus. In Ezekiel's prophecy, God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down," declares the Lord. So Jesus is not benignly describing himself as this staff-bearing leader of a community of kind of not bright, woolly subjects. In the words of N.T. Wright, Jesus is preaching about power and rule, about God's kingdom and the world's kingdoms, about God appointing a true king. And so now we have Jesus claiming to be that king, the shepherd. So in the face of this statement, the Jews are absolutely in a frenzy. Prior to the passage that we read this morning, the Jews reveal that they're actually divided in their ranks about who Jesus is. Some say that he's insane. He's a madman. Others say he's possessed by a demon. And then you have this small group that whispers with maybe anxious uncertainty, "But could a demon open the eyes of the blind?" By the time they actually confront Jesus in the temple on Hanukkah, they're boiling over. It's as if the temple walls themselves are crumbling when the Jews ask Jesus, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" Other commentators translate this verse, I think, more appropriately. "Why are you taking away our life?" And this is where the anxiety comes in. "Jesus, why are you taking away our life? Why are you wrecking our celebration? You're proclaiming the end of Judaism as we know it." The Jews are looking forward to the fulfillment of this kingly promise. And here they are staring him in the face, and they refuse to trust him. So what's wrong with these Jews? Are they crazy? Are they just out of touch with reality? Or are they just like us? In a sermon on anxiety, Tim Keller reflects on St. Augustine's claim that anxiety occurs when we allow good things to become one things or first things. Keller says, "Anxiety is like smoke, and you can follow the smoke down to the fire. And the fire is something you care entirely too much about. Anxiety is always the result of the implosion or the collapse of a false god." Can you relate to this at all? Take 10 seconds and reflect on what it is that makes you anxious. Is it possible that we idolize our children? How about our marriages? our jobs? Could it be that we trust our own feelings too much and think that what we think and what we feel is that has the final word? As Augustine says after the death of his closest friend, we're all guilty of loving mortal things as if they will never die. And so Jesus announces that he is the long-awaited king, and the Jews respond with intense anxiety that I think is totally appropriate, given that this strange man from Nazareth is upending their entire belief system. In a sense, for these Jews, the temple walls are crumbling, and they're blind. They cannot see Jesus as the fulfillment of their hope. They have seen God in the flesh, and they have decided God cannot be trusted. And so Jesus has something to say about this. Jesus explains that the reason they do not see him, the reason they aren't able to conceive of the witness borne out by his works, or the reason that they don't understand his parables, and the reason they can't see him as the Messiah, is because they do not belong to his sheep. Jesus says, "You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep." Their unbelief has nothing to do with Jesus' identity. It has everything to do with theirs. They don't believe because they're not his sheep. They can't hear the good shepherd's voice. But the sheep, on the other hand, the ones who hear his voice and follow him, are identified very differently. And this, I think, is where the passage becomes just really relevant to us. Of these sheep, Jesus says, "I know them, and they follow me." I know them. This doesn't indicate some corporate, impersonal knowledge, but intimate knowing. The sort that enables Jesus to say, "I call them by their names." Jesus speaks in direct opposition to the Jews' question, "Why are you taking away our life?" He assures his sheep, "I give you eternal life, and you will never perish." "Why are you taking away my life, Jesus?" "I'm not taking away your life. You will never die." Those who hear Jesus' voice and recognize it as the voice of the Good Shepherd, the one who has said that he will lay down his life for his sheep, the one who is one with the Father, you will be safe forever. There's not an illness or an addiction or a loss or an anxiety that can separate you from this reality. Nothing has the power to take away your life, not even death itself. And so this is wonderful news on this fourth Sunday of Easter as we proclaim again the resurrection of Jesus. But Jesus goes on to up the ante in verse 29. Jesus says, "What my Father has given me is greater than all else." Ultimately, you become one of Jesus' sheep because the Father gives you to him. When you belong to the Good Shepherd, you belong to him because he has chosen you. And Jesus says that his sheep, and that would be you and me, and the person sitting next to you, and maybe the person across the pew that you don't want to make eye contact with, he calls us a gift that is greater than all else. Can you imagine a deeper assurance of your value or a more nourishing response to your anxiety than the knowledge that God has chosen you? And this isn't because you're a good person. And it's not because you're attentive to the spiritual disciplines, and it's not because you're a patient mother or a good student. He sees that. He sees the other stuff too that you'd really rather him not see. And he chooses you anyway. He sees you and knows you and calls you by name and chooses you anyway. The good shepherd's love for his sheep satisfies the deepest human need, which is to be fully known and truly loved. And we see glimpses of that in marriage and in parenthood and in deep spiritual friendship. But it's only ever truly offered by God. And if you're a logical type that needs more proof or more assurance, Jesus offers a syllogism in verses 28 and 29. He says, if A, no one can seize you out of Jesus' hands, and B, no one can seize you out of the Father's hands, then C, the Father's hands and Jesus' hands are doing the same work. I and the Father are one. So Jesus grounds the love that the Good Shepherd has for his sheep in his own unbreakable love and union with the Father. Now, this is the answer to our anxiety. This is the answer to the fundamental human question, can I trust God? Our assurance of his love and his individual concern for us as we are in the realities of our life, his intimate knowledge of us, his willingness to pursue us as we inevitably stray, these are not wishful thinking. This is our reality in Christ, and Jesus himself grounds it in the love that he and the Father share in the Trinity. So fast forward for just a moment to our reading from Revelation. We see a scene that is beautiful beyond our wildest dreams, and it's the scene that we so often cleave to as our image of the new heaven and the new earth. It's a moment in which a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue stand before a Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world, is robed in white. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in his rightful position as King. And the elders proclaim, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is our good shepherd. We lack nothing. He will make us lie down in the green pastures of eternal life and lead us beside the still waters of eternity in his presence. So take heart. You can trust God. Amen.